Good evening, boys and girls. Welcome to a terrific Tuesday. You know what it is. It's that time of the week. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 49. But more importantly, it's Kevin Says. Well said, Mr. Mark. Good evening, squaddies, and welcome to the show, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Ready.
Okay, you're ready and you're red hot ready. And a lot of folks have been asking questions since yesterday for you, especially in regards to the Aubameyang thing. Now, it's kind of part of maybe your first question, but it's going to be a question that we're going to have to address because everyone wants to know your opinion on it. All right. So good evening, squaddies. Hello to everybody out there. Hello, Virginia, Bernadette, Hastings Guna, Mark, Matty, the whole crew. Good evening to you and welcome to the show. I hope everyone's having a good Tuesday. Thanks for joining me last night on Monday Madness. That was a fun show. And thank you to everybody. Very humbled by all of your happy anniversary wishes. Means the world to me.
Lovely.
And to Tony as well. And Vinny Vieira tried to steal the limelight, Kev.
He was stealing it. Especially in the Dicky Bowl. He stole my limelight.
He did. Gotta put that kid on a time.
He's gonna try and steal yours. You know what I mean?
Listen, Kev, we've introduced the squaddy timeout. Newman learned the hard way like Aubameyang yesterday. We might put Vinny Vieira on that one in the coming days.
I like it.
In the meantime, let's get stuck right into this. Super Kev has prepared three questions, two as usual, one bonus questions. Let's go. Squaddies, get ready. I hope you came prepared.
Hi, everyone. This is Kev Says, part 22. And this is after the North London Derby. Kev Says is going to be happening on Tuesday this week. So we want to make sure, I wanted to make sure Sophie has enough time to get everything ready. So I've got two questions and a bonus question, as always. So we're going to keep it nice and sharp. So my first question is, do Arsenal play better with Lacazette up front, other than Aubameyang, or Aubameyang on the left? But do Arsenal play better when Lacazette is the number nine?
See, I think this is a great question because for a while now we've gone back and forth with regards to whether we bench Aubameyang during his difficult time, keep playing him. You know, whether Lacazette has shown more maturity in that leadership role, especially down the middle, interacting with Saka and ESR. And I know you summarized for us at the end, Kev, but for me, I'll start off with me and then the whole squaddies can jump in here because it's a really good question. And I fear that Lacazette might be the one sold in the summer. Yet, you know, if you look at the top 10 goal scorers of all time in the Premier League, Lacazette makes the top 10. I think he's got, 47, 48. Laka is 60 plus. For the time period that they've been there, it's pretty good considering the likes of Robert Pires are on that list and other great Arsenal players are on that list. Mm-hmm. And I think Lacazette represents everything that the modern day footballer in that number nine position is. Not should be, but is, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe he doesn't score enough goals, a little bit like Bobby Firmino. You and I have talked about Bobby Firmino and how maybe his hour Firmino, what he does off the ball doesn't get recognized, is probably underappreciated. The way he holds the ball up, probably better than any Arsenal player. And in that position, in this way that Arteta wants to play, he's far more disciplined. So those are my thoughts, but I'm going to get to the thoughts of the squaddies here for you, Casey. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Thomas says, interesting question. Difficult to boil games down to one player, though. Matty says, depends who he plays, but in general, I have to say, yes, he does. Zamir, Lacazette, Brook, the chicken's neck. Ober, Brook, his own neck. I mean, that's a good one from Zamir. I love that. Completely. Yes, I think so, but they need to stop scuffing open shots. So let's stop here, Kev, because one of the biggest challenges for Arsenal up front, And in that video you and I both retweeted today from one Kieran Tierney, come on, guys, let's start burying chances. What do you think about what BX Gunner is saying? Yes, but they both and anyone playing up front has to start taking their chances.
Well, look, in the last few weeks, we've seen the good and the bad, haven't we? We've seen, don't forget, we've seen in the Benfica, we've seen Aubameyang do terrible. Then we've seen Aubameyang come to the party. Then we've seen Aubameyang do terrible again, kind of not hit the ground running again. Then we've seen Lacazette, you know, do the business against Spurs. I just think over the period sometimes, what we got to do is, we know they've been inconsistent, and we've said this so many times, this is our problem. When the team isn't playing well enough, they don't know when the chances are going to come. And when the chances don't come, they start snatching at the chances. The better we play more consistently, so, is the better our strike force is going to be. Because, let's be honest, we played Spurs down there. We put in 40-yard crosses. It made no difference because we're never going to get on the end of one. Here, we played a lot better. We played a lot smarter. We got our fullbacks in good positions, and as opposed to just crossing balls in, we're trying to pick people out. And that's the difference. That's us playing better. So you look at our two performances against that lot. One is we're just throwing the ball in the box and hoping. The second one, when we're playing better, is we're getting further down the pitch and we're cutting balls back, score goals, etc. So I think it's an interesting one, but scuffing shots, it's going to happen. It sometimes does happen.
Okay, let's go to GB here. Evening all. This is a really difficult question. And a lot of people have started their comment with that, right? I thought ESR, Saka and Laka had something together to begin our resurgence. And I loved Pepe on the left. But to be fair, to put a little spin on what GB's saying, Kev, we also saw Pepe, Laka, Oba do well last season. In our run-up. What do you think about what GB's saying here?
Yeah, look, I think we have to look at the present. Let's look at the present, because last season we know, yeah, we done okay and we won an FA Cup, great. But as Arsenal fans, we've got to move on. So we look at what's going on now. And I personally, when Smith Rowe, obviously Odegaard wasn't there. So Smith Rowe and Saka was dovetailing beautifully with Lacazette. Aubameyang was in and out the team. Obviously, that's when he had his problems. But I think that, as I say, the question isn't, do we score more goals? The question is, do we play better with Laka as a number nine as opposed to Oba? And I think we do. I think we do play better as a team with Oba, with Oba not being the number nine.
Okay, I'm going to try and culminate some responses for you here. And good evening to all 200 plus of you in chat tonight. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's edition of Kevin Says, Super Kevin Campbell here, the legend answering your questions in our live Q&A. Kev, I'm going to read a few of these off because they're similar. Matty K says, depends who we play, but in general, I have to say he does. And then Nana here says the same. It depends on the opponents, in my opinion. And then our good friend Virginia, hey V, how you doing? I think it depends on the opposition, Kev, but they are better when they play separately up front. If you can grab those three in a nutshell and respond, what do you think about what these guys are saying on that one?
Well, you look at Chelsea at home. So you play Chelsea. Then when we play Brighton, Laka was on the bench. Had to come off the bench to score the goal. All of a sudden, second half, we picked it up, brought Laka on, and he brought his shooting boots. We scored the goal. Who scored? Lacazette. We played West Bromwich Albion away. No Aubameyang. We performed. Convincing win. Laka, Saka, and Smith Rowe were sensational that day. Dovetailing, great passes. Great movement, great goals.
Goes to what Robski's saying here. I think ESR and Saka prefer Laka. Go on, Kev.
So, again, people are saying depends who we play. I've just named, I've reeled off three, four different teams here who we've played when Laka's been up top with these wonder kids, and we've actually performed. And I'm not saying Aubameyang needs to be out the team, but I'm just saying as a number nine, do we play better where Laka's at number nine? And I think we do.
So a few people have said this too. Our team, our team play requires link up all over the pitch. Oba breaks that link as he can't hold up the play, though he's the better finisher. Is he the better finisher? I mean, he scored more goals, of course.
No, but he's the better finisher.
And he needs more chances as well.
He's the better finisher. He is the better finisher. And I could see in the Olympiacos game where he started as a number nine, his hold-up play was a little bit better. Although, Olympiacos and Benfica, his hold-up play was a little better. And the team, but you got Odegaard there. Odegaard makes a massive difference to our team. And people might not think, Odegaard, but he doesn't do this. What Odegaard does do, he passes the ball to players nice and easy where they can control it easily. If you notice, when he passes it to a player, this not never a fight ball. Have you noticed that, Sophie? It's never a fight ball. If the defender's on that side, he gives it to this side. And if the defender's on this side, he gives it to that side. And it may seem so simple, but it is so hard to do, especially when you're under pressure.
So our good friend Tanner as well from the same old Arsenal USA, Bearded Guna, was talking about how he also thinks that, you know, we play better as a team. Antoine totally agrees with you. Gabor here says Laka 100%. Olare says, for me, Pepe should play in the middle like he played against Chelsea in the final. You mentioned Chelsea, Kevin. In terms of how we played against them. Antoine says we play much better with Laka. Oba plays detached from the team. Zamir says the midfield we play determines the striker we should use. Though I'd say Laka can play against multiple defenses, whereas Oba is a counter-attacking player. What do you think about that?
No, I don't agree. I don't agree. When we played Benfica, it wasn't exactly counter-attack. And at times they defended, you know, they either played with a high line or they defended deep. Mm-hmm. And if you notice Aubameyang's goal, when Saka cut the ball through, Aubameyang just run along the line and then darted in just onside and looped it over the goalkeeper. That was a great goal. So I understand what you're saying, but he can play against tight defences. It just depends on the service to him. Whereas Lacazette offers you a bit more because of his hold-up skills.
Alcarp here is saying, maybe an unpopular opinion, but saw the game again today. I rewatched it as well the other night. I watched it twice since, actually. Alcarp saying he thinks Lacazette got saved by the penalty and putting it away, otherwise he didn't have that good a game. I would say, Alcarp, if you go back and watch the game, what he does off the ball to allow other players to do what they do is probably one of the reasons why we were able to penetrate Tottenham the way we were. Kev, am I talking out my arse or am I talking reality?
No, I'll say to Alcarp, I thought Lacazette looked sharp to me on Sunday. He looked really sharp, started the game well, movement, touch, everything looked to be on point for me. So I'm not too sure what Alcarp probably is looking for. Because remember,
I think goals, Kev. I think it's goals where fans criticize him.
Yeah, but this is the whole thing. When you're a team, the goals are going to come from all over. But what in our team we needed Lacazette to one engage the centre halves, hold the ball up against them, and hit a red shirt. That's what he done. That's what we needed, and that then allows Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, everybody then to move into position, Xhaka, Partey, to then get the ball and start shifting the ball on. That allows us a good platform to play from. So I don't quite agree with Alcott, but I understand what he's saying.
I think this as well, that Tana brings up a good point. Lacazette can also provide service. And you've said this a lot, Kevin. I challenged you on this and you were like, no, Oba needs the service. And at that Brighton game you kept talking about where he was running into positions and at that time we weren't mature enough there and ready and able. Therein lies the major difference for Tana. I want to know if you agree with that. And then also, does Arteta think now maybe he can afford to play Lacazette a little bit more because he's getting goals from other areas of the pitch, which has been a struggle over the last two seasons because we've relied so much on Aubameyang's goals.
Yeah, I think, look, Mikel Arteta has to look at cup competitions. You need to have your sniper on the pitch because you just never know when you're going to need the goal. And if your sniper is off the pitch, we're not as dangerous, Sophie. Definitely not as dangerous. So Oba needs to play, whether it's as a number nine or as a left-sided forward. He has to play in the Europa. But I think in the league, if you noticed, and here's another start for Lacazette was Leicester. Mm-hmm. Leicester away. After Benfica, they were the front three were awesome. I thought they were awesome, especially that third goal where Laka gets hold of it, backs in, and then Xhaka comes and joins him, and then the ball breaks, and then there's five of our players breaking. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference when a player can do that. Oba's not that type of player. He isn't that type of player. And we see the difference when Laka plays, and we can cut through teams because he can hold the ball up.
Yeah. Zander says, Lacazette sucks defenders out of position to free up space. However, Lacazette needs four chances to score and Aubameyang needs two. I think they both need a couple chances, Kev, if I'm going to be fair. But the proof's in the goals pudding, isn't it, really? And Aubameyang is superior.
Yeah. Look, Aubameyang is the superior finisher. Mm-hmm. But I think player for the team, Lacazette's the man. You know, I'm going into a bit of my thing at the end. I don't really want to go in too much.
No, we'll wait.
But I just think I've always said it, and I've said it before on it, if we could get them two as a tandem up top, we have a real dangerous front two. But the problem is the way teams like to play and the way Mikel Arteta likes to play one up and two wide because he wants to stretch the defence. So, you know, I think Laka does make us better when he plays.
And there's no doubt that what Real Captain is saying here is true, that Laka presses better than Oba. His energy is different. The effort he puts into a game is different. And there was another one here that I wanted to find from someone that I thought was really important. I'm going to try and find it, but I'll just repeat it, Kev. Is that
if you notice when we won the FA Cup and we played the two good teams, Lacazette started front down the middle.
I know. This is the difference. I think like I said earlier, I think because Lacazette doesn't score as many goals, people see it differently. But it's the same with you got Firmino, Salah and Mane. Firmino doesn't get all the goals. But without him, Liverpool aren't as effective and they can't function 100%. And I think this is why he goes underappreciated. And some people saying, oh, he looks like he's lost his legs and no mileage. I'm like, what are you talking about? Who are you watching? I don't understand.
People don't realize how hard it is to play up there on your own.
Yeah.
let me tell you, that is the hardest position on the pitch to play because you got everywhere else, you got players around you.
Yeah.
Number nine as a striker with nobody close, that is the hardest position because you've got two guard dogs behind you, one ball, and you're taking all the buffeting. You're taking all the buffeting. It's hard, man. Trust me.
It is hard, but you know, what I love about what he does is what he enables others to do when he takes defenders with him. And also, he's so unselfish. He's such an unselfish player, yes, and clearly a leader on the pitch, which is what we need right now. I found this comment that I was looking for from now, Kev. How do we go forward then, Kevin? Is our future with Ober or Lacka in it? And last night on the show, I ripped Ober a lot on the show last night, Kev, just so you know. I said I'd be willing to sell him.
Don't worry, I watched it.
I mean, I don't know if you, I don't know if you agree or not, but turning up late as captain to a North London derby is worse than what Xhaka did throwing his shirt on the ground. I just cannot get over this. I just cannot accept.
Sophie.
Muswell Hill. Come on. Everyone's Sophie, like saying, Sophie. Oh, we got stuck in Muswell Hill traffic.
Sophie, why do you just mention North London derby? What you should be saying is...
Well, it was before then, yeah.
No, what you should be saying is, for the captain to be late, full stop.
Okay, 100%.
And I understand, look, this is the thing. I understand you could go a route, you leave early and something could be totally backed up. I get that. But that means you're not giving yourself enough time.
Yes.
That's what that means. Because as the captain, and let me tell you something about the captain, Sophie. The captain should always be there, one of the first, because a lot of the organization, a lot of the camaraderie happens with the captain. That's why he's got to be. I know. Right. I've been there.
Were you ever late for a Merseyside derby as captain of Everton, Kevin Campbell? Never.
I'm never late.
Period.
Sophie, never late.
No matter the game. I hear you.
Never late. Late. Late for work. Well, you must be mad. I'd rather get there an hour early. mm-hmm. I'd rather get there an hour early. Trust me.
I don't think people talking about the traffic, honestly, Kev and I have both driven in London traffic. Stop the madness. If you live, and Ober has lived in North London for a long time now, right, playing for Arsenal Football Club, if you've got to drive through Muswell Hill, be prepared. He knows better than this. And it's not the – listen, guys, it's not like it just happened. He's done this before. And people trouncing on Arteta for being truthful when you then trounce on him, just tell us the truth. We need transparency. We want to know what's going on. He put it out there on the table. He told you.
Told you. Yeah.
What are you bitching about?
Yeah. You see, but what you got to understand as well sometimes, Sophie, people just don't want Arteta to, they don't want Arteta to succeed. They don't want Arteta to succeed.
To me, Kev, go on.
No, I just want to make this point. Arteta cannot be damned if he does and damned if he don't. Why? Why should he be damned? Listen, he's the manager and he sets the rules. We've battled about this before when you said he's treated people differently, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. This goes to show you, Sophie, he's the manager. He sets the rules. You break it. It don't matter whether you're Aubameyang, Willian, or Tierney. You're going to get punished. And rightly so.
I've been wanting to ask you this question, and it leads into your question of Lacazette. Good evening to 335 of you. Hello. Happy Tuesday. This is Kevin Says with the legend that is Super Kevin Campbell. Ask him anything. He'll answer everything. You know, last night I was on the show and talked about Aubameyang, but I've really been wanting to ask Kev because he brings up a great question about Lacazette and do we play better when Lacazette starts? And you got to say to yourself, and Kev will summarize for us at the end of the show, but a lot of you in chat are agreeing or answering Kev's question with a resounding actually yes. Even though you also are smart enough to understand that Aubameyang is the more prolific finisher, what Lacazette does for us as a team, which then enables other players to maybe score goals, is a little bit different. But Kev, I just want to make it clear where you stand on this issue with Aubameyang turning up late to the game, whether it's a North London derby or not, and Mikel Arteta. You know I've been very critical of Arteta, but I stood by him 100% yesterday, and I said, you know what? Today is the day he really, truly became Arsenal manager. For me.
100%. I am behind Arteta 100%. I don't care who you are. You're not late. You are not late. Lateness under proper managers, you're getting punished. And he's getting punished. That's the name of the game. It's not the Olber show. It's Arsenal, the Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah.
And Mikel Arteta is the manager. And he's right to drop him. And he could speed off in his Lambo and go home in a sulk. That's all right. What I want him to do is show me a reaction on Thursday. That's what I want. I want him to grab that game by the scruff of the neck and bury this team because he owes us after last year.
You know what, as well, the manner in which he left the stadium, Kev, this is why, for me, I would start Lacazette on Thursday as well. If everyone's fit, of course, you know, Saka's got some issues. Let's rest him. Let's not worry about Saka. Give him a break. But I would start Lacazette. I'd keep Aubameyang. I told you guys this in the post-game show, and you may have been reluctant to say, no, let's start him on Thursday. But now I'm thinking, keep him bench, start Lacazette, keep the integrity of the team that did so well against Spurs if everyone is fit and ready to go. And I think Moss brings up a good question for you. He's wondering if Aubameyang likes even being captain, Kev. You've been a player in a squad with great captains, but then you have managed, you've been captain of really like great football teams like Everton Football Club. You were the captain on the day West Brom survived the most insane survival in Premier League history. It's more than just wearing the armband on your arm.
100%. And also, Sophie, this is what a lot of people, the giants that have captained the club before you, they set such a high standard. Let me tell you, you have got a lot to live up to being Arsenal captain. And obviously, Aubameyang isn't doing a very good job of it, is he? Because he can't even get to the stadium on time. Oh, mate, this is childish stuff.
Kev, what would George Graham have done to him?
He'd have dropped him. He'd have dropped him. He wouldn't even have been in the squad. I'm telling you now. Listen, Aubameyang would know he would have to be. He would be there early if it was George Graham. Trust me on that one. He would be there early.
Believe so is that an Arteta issue? Because I'm sure under Arteta,
No, it's not Arteta issue. It is, I'm telling you, Aubameyang, knowing how that, because that means we have to take Aubameyang back to that team. He would be early. Because the manager wouldn't even have to call him out. The players would.
Bernadette, you bring up a point that I've mentioned a lot. You can't just come out and talk after a good result. You've got to come out and talk after, you know, tough games as well. And there's one here saying that Femi, Kev, do you agree with this? Do you think Tierney or ESR or Udegaard are going to be thinking what's going on if Aubameyang's benched on Thursday again? Is this really going to cause a rift in the dressing room?
Look, for me, as the manager said, he's drawn a line in the sand over it. That means that it was a one-game thing. Don't let it happen again, okay? So I don't think it'll cause a rift. Whatever the manager chooses to do, he's the manager. He's proven he is the manager. And you know what, Sophie? He stuck his neck in the guillotine on Sunday.
He really did.
He really did. Because you can imagine, if we'd lost that game, our fan base would have been on meltdown.
Killed him.
How could he leave Ober out? You know, it's because he's a novice why he does this. You could just imagine the narrative.
I'm going to leave it with this one because there's so much on this, Kevin. It'll roll into some of the other stuff that you've got coming up on your next two questions. Static, hello, mate. Sophie, Kevin, I've seen Tierney talk more after the game when Arsenal win, draw, or lose. Make him captain now. Some people are saying, well, why wasn't he captain of Celtic? I think it was a different scenario at Celtic. Here's what I do like. Tierney talks on the pitch and it is constant, constant, constant. Lacazette is... he does things body language-wise, Kevin, as well as being vocal, right? Xhaka, this is why he keeps being played, because they're willing to take the risks based on the players we have right now versus the odd mistake that he might make. Mm-hmm. David Luiz, the same thing. He hasn't really put a foot wrong since that Manchester City horror show earlier this season, if we're going to be fair, you guys. And so when it comes to leadership on the pitch, I think part of making Aubameyang captain was partly to make him sign for the club and get that deal done. I just think Arteta's got a big decision to make this summer, Kev.
I think if Arteta wants to keep Lacazette, he will. I don't think the armband's going to make a difference to Lacazette. I think because Lacazette is that type of guy anyway. You could see the way he dovetails with the youngsters. He helps the youngsters. We've heard Saka come out and mention how Lacazette looks after them and, you know, talks to them, etc. But I'm sure Aubameyang does as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he doesn't, but the fact of the matter is the captain, the current incumbent of the armband, he's messed up. He messed up on the biggest day of our season.
He really did. That's huge, Kevin.
That shouldn't happen.
No.
That shouldn't happen.
Listen, if I was, when I was working for 20th Century Fox, if I was going to go do a presentation to one of our partners for a movie and I showed up late for that presentation,
I'm not doing the presentation,
I'm not making it to lunch, you know? So, even Hector talks on the pitch. We'll give him that. But someone just made a really good point that I want to find before we go. You know me, there's always one I'll find. Someone said Arteta made the decision. Where is it? He basically made the decision and made it public to make it easier for him for what he might be doing in the summer. I said on the show last night, I'd sell Aubameyang. I'd get him out.
Well, I'm just saying, Arteta done that, not because of how's to make it easier for him in the summer. No. Forget the summer. We're playing Spurs on Sunday. We were playing Spurs on Sunday. Aubameyang was down to play. Because you see, what happens is this, you see, Sophie. what Mikel Arteta doesn't want is if Mikel Arteta comes out and says, no, I picked the team, da, 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 and then somebody else comes out and leaks that Aubameyang got dropped, which it will do, that's just going to cause a bigger stir moving forward. But if you nip it in the bud right there and then, it's done. Look at it now.
You don't think Oba's toxic? You know what? Look at the evidence. He behaved badly at Dortmund as well. He's behaved badly at the Arsenal. And here's what happens at the Arsenal, because we're so desperate for big-time players and players who are really talented when we have average players. A little bit like what we did with Ozil, we laud them. We put them on a pedestal. We make them feel like God. And Aubameyang certainly saved us, you guys. Leno's saves also saved us. Let's not forget that. But when you turn up late as a captain, like Kev said, I don't care if it's the North London derby or not. No.
One thing I will say.
Diva. Maybe diva is a better word, Raul.
Yeah, okay. I don't think he's toxic. I don't think
he's toxic. He's a diva. I'll take that back.
Yeah, as a striker, he's a diva, right? He's a diva.
Yes. He's like the Terrell Owens wide receiver, Chad Johnson.
Yeah. It's about me. And that's probably why he drove off after the game, without doing a warm down, etc., because it should have been his day. He probably was geared up to do Spurs. And that got taken away from him. And for a player, he must have drove him mad seeing the team do so well, Sophie.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to look, it is toxic behavior as a captain to be late for a game. That's not even diva-like. That's entitlement. That's kind of toxic.
I won't say toxic. I wouldn't say
I'm going to go back to stick to it because people are saying toxic or whatever, but prima donna, toxic, diva, all of the above. Right, let's move on to Kev's second question. Are you kids ready? You can keep having a go at me for calling him toxic. Here's the scoop. It's toxic behavior that you do not want trickling into the rest of the team or
anywhere around the club.
Right. And we cannot afford those kinds of players. Here we go, guys. Number two.
Question two. Arteta has beaten Mourinho in the North London Derby. Finally. Where do you think we will finish this season? Are you optimistic?
Really good question, because it's been really disappointing in the league this season. I think most sensible Arsenal fans and 420 plus in live chat right now, thanks for joining us on this Kevin Says segment, would agree that it has been not what we expected. We all were euphoric after the FA Cup win. That FA Cup win gives you that bump and belief, Kev, that you can go on and do similar things in the Premier League. But I think we realised very quickly that we're still a cup team that is going through a massive transition. We did the reality check show with you as well. Yeah. So for me, and I'll answer the question before the squaddies jump in, is I don't expect much to change because I still think we're going through those motions, and there's certain games where you can really be uplifted and getting ready and prepared and mentally like beastly for a North London derby is one thing. But then when you've still got to face the likes of Brighton and West Brom, you know, it's not easy towards the end of the season when it's already been a short break. It's a COVID time. And at the same time, you know, you're dealing with a lot. And you have a novice manager who's still learning on the job, let's be honest. Okay. He's not there yet, but he's definitely improved within himself as the season has progressed. So Fraser says mid-table mediocrity. Newman says depends on Europa League. It could derail our league form. If we get bumped out of the Europa League, do you think that will happen, Kev? Or do you think we'll strive and bounce?
I don't think we can afford to take it easy in any of them. Mm-hmm. I still think Mikel Arteta wants us, because it's about form now. And not how you start, it's how you finish. I'd rather start poorly and finish like a train. And if we could finish like a train, because there's going to be teams tailing off come the end of the season. Always happens. They've got the flip-flops on, Sophie. Do you know what I mean? They've got the flip-flops on. So what we need to do, we need to pull our sleeves up, and we're going to have to use our squad. The squad are going to have to play their part, both in the Europa. You know, we hope we get through against Olympiacos. We beat them on Thursday, and then the squad come together again and go at West Ham, beat West Ham, and then we move forward. Take on every challenge. That's what we need.
Okay, so I'm going to go to these because I want you to see as many as possible in answer to your question, Kev. And rightly so. Someone said there was 500 of you in chat. Hit the like button. If we all hate Tottenham, hit the like button right now. Doesn't get better than that.
Hit it.
All right, here we go. GD says 7th. Muzz says 8th. Whoa, a very optimistic Vadep here says 5th. BX Gunner 7th to 8th. Savage says a Savage 6th. Colin Lloyd 6th. Fraser says 8th. Are you saying at last finally that we're going to be, I don't know what you mean there, mate, but what you can clarify that for me, Moss. Anchorman, I'm not getting my hopes up just to get them dashed. A lot of fans think that way, Kev. Mm.
Yeah. And rightly so.
Some of these up as you're talking. We've got 8th from Matty K, 7th, 8th, top 10. Rich says 6th. I think some of the people that are saying fifth and sixth, Kev, is because of the state of the league. Like, look at teams around us who keep dropping points. So it gives Arsenal fans who are hopeful hope.
Of course it does. And you know what, Sophie? And this is what one of the bits I'm going to say at the end is anywhere between 10th and 6th, I believe, is possible. But we don't know what Arsenal's going to turn up. And that's because they haven't given us hope about their consistency yet. You know, we need them to be consistent now. Now we're getting to the business end of the season. If we finish 6th, and won the Europa, it's a decent season. It's great for winning the Europa, but it's a decent season after the way we started.
I would, and you know I'm critical, I would elevate decent to good. You know, I would say, having criticised Arteta, if he walks away winning the Europa League after winning the FA Cup in his first half season.
A year and a half, like, winning two trophies, my God.
You know me, you can stuff that humble pie right in my face.
You'd need about 4 humbles, I'm telling you.
I honestly, Kevin, that would be incredible, because not only does it win us a trophy, we get back into the Champions League, and not because you and I think we can win the Champions League, we don't, but we need the money. We need the finances. Yeah. We need to be in that competition just for those reasons. You know, so a few more for you here. Let's beat West Ham. A lot of people are saying they want to see how we beat West Ham. Nana says, I think we'll finish about 7th, 5th. Time for the classic Arsenal run. Zamir's right. We love a good run from March onwards. We go on that. We usually win our last 10 games of the season. Let's see if we can do it this season. 6th and 8th, dizzy heights of 10th.
Real captain.
Let's see what Barry says. We need to go on a run, including beating West Ham and Liverpool are our toughest games. And I think, do we have Chelsea still at some point towards
Chelsea,
the end?
Chelsea, Stamford Bridge in it, I think. Yeah.
Yes. But then we play, every other team we play is in the bottom half.
In the bottom half, yeah.
Of the league. And I get Saeed too. I don't know, honestly. I don't trust this team.
And that's part of, and if you notice, Sophie, everything ranges from 10th to 5th. And there ain't many points in, you know, there ain't much points difference really when you consider where we can finish.
Yeah.
Our key is the Europa. We know that. But to keep the boys sharp, we have to go after teams in the Premier League. Spurs were surprised at how we went after them. I'm telling you, on Sunday. They were surprised.
I think they totally disrespected us, Kev. I think Mourinho's team talk was, I know this team, they're going to make mistakes. Let me tell you, you would get 2-3 opportunities. We would capitalize, we will win the game because of their mistakes. And what did we say? Don't make mistakes.
Don't make mistakes, we'll win the game.
And barring the last 10 minutes where people say that was wobbly because we were just soaked up the pressure, right? They went at us. They went at us. And but we didn't make mistakes. We didn't make mistakes. They hit the
post.
They
had nothing to lose.
Right.
They had nothing to lose. So they can chuck everybody at it. If they lose 3-1, so what? We were going for it. Not a problem.
I know. It wasn't the best Mourinho accent, was it? I'll try again harder tomorrow. All right. Let's get to Kev's last question. Are you guys ready? Let's roll. 43 minutes in. Hit that like button for us. Subscribe if you're a first timer here. Super Kevin Campbell's Kevin Says Live weekly Q&A. Here is the crescendo.
Question 3. Do you think the mentality of the team and players are finally changing for the better? So, do you think the team's better with Lacazette playing up front? That was number one. Number two, do you think now that Mikel Arteta's beaten Mourinho, where do you think we'll finish? And the bonus is, do you think the mentality of the players is finally changing for the better? Because we've criticised them to say that they've been weak, but do you think they are in a better place? I look forward to engaging with you, dealing with you, and speaking to you in the chat. Take good care, everyone. Up the Arsenal.
I love the way KC says, I look forward to dealing with you. That makes me very happy, squaddies, because you know what? Kevin will deal with you. And I think, well done, Alcarp. That's the key to the Mourinho. Kevin, I think the mentality has improved.
Yeah, that's the chicken sink, that one. I'm telling you. I'm rocking neck. The chicken sink.
We're having
I'm putting
all
in the chicken sink.
All right, let's rattle through these ones for you. Barry Byrne, yes, mentality slowly getting better, but we still take ages to recover from a blow. I'm not sure about that lately because we've been down and we've come back against
Benfica, came back against Leicester, and Spurs.
Yep. Solve that, I think we will, and get very good. What I mean, yeah, Kev, you're answering it as we're going. Here we go. Matty K, yes, 100% changing. Bad eggs have gone and the team seems to have galvanized. There's no doubt there's been a team spirit and improvement since the click has gone. Agree or disagree, Kev?
I agree with that. I definitely agree. I think Mikel Arteta had to get them out by any means. And that's why we had to pay most of them off. Had to get them out to free up the opportunity for the mind to start taking the information he wants to give them. It's really important.
Okay, so let's see. Let's go through these for you, Kev. We have Yo-Yo. The side doesn't have the mentality to climb another five places. Europa matters now. I understand where Yo-Yo's coming from, Kev. Let's see how we end. Elaine says it's definitely changing. Dubba Ducky, very nice name. I think the team played better with Laka, but I don't think Laka scores enough. The mentality is the same, just that we have error-prone players who will never change. I think this is true in the sense that Arteta's trying to change the philosophy, but it's never going to be turnkey until he has his own full squad and players, mm-hmm. right, Kev?
Yeah. I know, listen, every manager inherits certain players that they have to utilize. And that's what he's doing. But again, it's all going to come down to how they recruit in the summer. I think that's going to be the key.
Here's one for you from Daniel. You can see a lot more discipline in the squad. Heads don't go down when we concede. Kev, this is key.
Daniel, well said. Well said, Daniel Augustine. Well said. That is key. And we have seen Arsenal capitulate in the first half of the season. But we're not capitulating anymore. We're disappointed when we draw, when we should win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some improvement.
Hastings Gunnar. Yep. Yes, definitely. We come from behind in games. Kev, there have been times, even under Unai Emery, who I've talked about having a better Premier League record, of course, than mm-hmm. Arteta and Wenger, though. I mean, we go into half-time with 3-0 down. That is not happening under Arteta.
That's right. It's not happening. And how frustrating is it? You know, even for you, Sophie, you get up early hours of the morning to watch Arsenal, and the game's over by halftime. That's not right. That is not right. And that's experienced managers who have been in charge. Yeah. So there has been some improvement mentally to actually try and stay in the game. I think that's really important. Obviously, when he adds better players, we will get better.
Okay, so you bring up a great point there because Fraser Matthew. Hi, Fraser. Thanks for joining the show. Mentally improved since we integrated Saka and ESR. You've talked about how these young players have saved the season, Kev, and they're saving the senior players. How much truth in what Fraser's saying about our mental improvement with players?
He's bang on. I think Saka obviously has done it all season. Smith Rowe came in for the Chelsea game with Martinelli, and they gave the team a massive boost. You saw Lacazette, you saw all of them running riot. Chelsea couldn't handle them. They couldn't handle the energy. They couldn't handle the press. So I think that's a real valid statement there, mentally improved since we integrated Sakharin ESR. Yeah, I agree. They did.
Captain JT Spalding. Aye, aye, Captain, on deck. I think it's improved. We don't throw in the towel and easily get rolled over by teams as often, even if we're being outplayed scoreline-wise, we're normally still in the game. I think as well as our heads not going down, as well as us not conceding back-to-back goals, Kev, do you remember? Oh, my gosh, before we know it, we're 2-0 down.
Yeah.
And it's back-to-back. It's an onslaught. We capitulate. Mm-hmm. Mentally impotent behavior. I think what Captain JT here is saying, even when we're being outplayed and the scoreline, you know, we still believe we're in the game. And that's a huge difference. Huge difference.
Being in the game is what it's all about. Every team has to go through some adversity. They have to, or else you won't be a team. But it's how you respond to it, how you react to it. In the first half of the season, let's just be honest, we were awful. We couldn't respond. We were poor. And when we went one goal down at the Emirates, we went two goals down at the Emirates. We lost games at the Emirates that we should never lose. Now, you know, you could say to yourself, if we'd have got points in them games, although the season never works out like that, now is the time where we've got to make up for it. And now we're going to find out how strong their mentality is, because now they have to go for it. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to want to finish as high up in this league. Because nothing's promised in the Europa.
Johnny boy, don't ruin the party. It's positivity, okay? So don't try and ruin it by saying Bellerin's going to start on Thursday. And by the way,
He played well out. He played well out there.
He played well the other day when he did start. So, yes. All right, let's see. I've got next three or four matches will determine the level of our mentality, says Feisaho. What do you think?
I don't think the next four games determines the level of our mentality. Our mentality has shown itself. Okay? It has shown itself. The results have shown that our mentality is improving. And I don't want to go into too much because I'm going to summarize
it. Okay, let's do that. Let's get to that now, yeah. And thank you to the wide-eyed squaddy who just told me that the banner at the bottom was advertising last week's auction, not this week's, with Thomas Partey. All right, Kev, let's get to your we're 52 minutes in. It's the last 8 minutes of the show where you answer your own questions and let us know what you think. Squaddies, round of applause. Brilliant comments and questions this week.
Yep, well done, Kev.
Well done. Good answers. Always as well. so smart. And yes, consistency. So shall I put myself in a timeout, Newman? I wasn't late. But should
he
I?
He wants revenge.
He wants revenge.
He's a rugged. You watch it, Newman. Yes. Salt London.
All right, Kevin. Let's answer your first question regarding Lacazette.
Lacazette. I think we are a better team when Lacazette plays as the number nine. Even if Aubameyang's in the team on the left. And it was proven last season. And it's been proven this season in spurts where you see Smith Rowe and Saka and Lacazette at the top end of the pitch. Him holding that ball makes everybody better. People can get into position. Aubameyang plays a different game. He plays more on the shoulder. He can hold up now and again, but his game isn't built on back to goal. His game is built on playing on the shoulder. So it's a different mentality. But I think as a team, we play better as a team with Lacazette at the top end of the pitch as the number nine.
Interesting. And if he does, look, Lone Star, you know, he didn't publicly humiliate him. He made a statement as Arsenal manager. I don't care who you are, what the name of the back of your shirt is, or if you're captain. If you're late and you've done it several times, you will be reprimanded. And let's see his response. If he does play on Thursday, let's see what he does. It's up to him now. That's it. No, I'm never late and I can't reprimand myself because I'm hosting the show, but I'll give myself a Twitter timeout if you guys really want for getting Thomas Partey's name wrong on the Football Prizes ticker tape. It's up to you guys. You can vote for it as we're chatting. Kev, your question number two.
About where do I see now that he's beaten Mourinho?
Yes.
And people are buying, where can we finish? Listen, I think, as I said previously, anywhere between 10th and 6th. I wouldn't quite go as far as 5th because I think someone is going to drop out of that top 4 into that 5th spot. But I think 6th, anywhere between 10th and 6th is doable. But again, it's going to lead into the third question. The reason why we can finish in that 6th spot is because of the mentality. Are we going to go for it? Or are we going to take our foot off the gas in the league? I don't think Mikel Arteta is going to allow it. I don't think he's going to allow it. He wants to finish as high as he can. He wants a good finish to the season. Because you know what? If we have a good finish to the season, Sophie, when he does make the signings in the summer, it's going to make us more buoyant. As he says, the squad are looking to bang. They're looking to go bang. Not implode, but boom. So we're not going to finish 10th. I'd say we're going to finish between 8th and 6th. Mm-hmm. One of those three spots, 8th, 7th, or 6th. I'd love us to finish 6th. Love it.
Yeah, I would. Listen, we've got to have that insurance just in case we don't win Europa League.
Yeah.
I don't care what any Arsenal fan says. Of course I care what you say. But the truth is, guys, we need European football. Even if it's the Europa League, it's an additional revenue stream. And that's one that we can't afford to lose right now. And it's not the same money as the Champions League, but we need it. And it's important.
Especially with the club's model. Yeah, with the club's model, financial model. Yeah. So last but not least,
last
Sophie.
Last one, Kev, yeah.
Sophie in or Alba out. Yeah, get Sophie in there. Sort it all out. Listen, the mentality of the team. I've actually been impressed, Sophie. You know me, I like to sit down and watch them and watch how they respond. And it kind of started with the Benfica because you know what? What Danny Ceballos done was criminal. Mm-hmm. Giving Benfica, because realistically, Sophie, we should have been out. That should have been us done. It should have been finished. But the boys battled and battled and battled. They got themselves back in. Then Aubameyang scored the winner. Ended up getting to, he got scored 2 on the night, got the winner to take us through. And then we thought, wow, you know, let's see how we go against Leicester. Leicester could have gone second in the league. Mikel Arteta changes it. We go a goal down to another stupid mistake. But what happens? The boys respond and we blow Leicester away. I think this is really important for the psyche of the team. Yeah, we go to Burnley and it didn't quite work out. We missed the chances, Sophie. I know it was handball and all that. We could argue that one. But we messed up and gave them a goal. And we never took our chances. We never lost the game, but it felt like a loss. Then we kick on again. We take care of business against Olympiacos. Love the mentality. Another stupid goal away. They equalised. That could have been us on the back foot, but it wasn't. We went on to win the game pretty comfortably and with Elneny scoring that wonderful third goal, puts us in the driving seat. Now, the big game, the North London Derby, Sophie, this was the big test.
Mm-hmm.
This was the big test. This is the best Spurs side since they won the league in Stone Age. Right? This was our big test. They were blowing teams, scoring 300 goals scored. Mourinho's shouting from the rooftops. We battered them for 80 minutes. They took the lead and we still pummeled them.
Mm-hmm.
They had their little rally at the end, which you expect. But do you know what? I'm going to be honest. And I want people to tell me in the chat, have you ever seen a more one-sided North London derby?
Not in the last 5 years, I have not. I really haven't.
I'll be honest with you, Sophie. I don't think I've ever seen such a one-sided North London derby. I haven't.
We totally bossed that game. I mean, from start to finish.
Yeah.
And last 10 minutes, you know, we were just trying to hold on to the lead. I mean, you know, I mean, it was, and we were under the cosh, you know, Harry Kane hit the post. Gabriel has that amazing header. These are parts of the game, but, you know.
But we've done it.
We did. We in the end, we won. And that's what matters.
So for me, the mentality has changed. It's not exactly where we need it to be just yet, but it has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that 5-2, they were leading in that one as well, weren't they?
They were. And they were also leading in the 4-2.
Yeah. So
the Torreira
again,
iconic moment.
It weren't that dominant, although the scoreline makes it dominant. We dominated this game from start. They scored against the run of play. And we dominated right up to 80 minutes. So I don't think I've ever seen such a dominant Arsenal performance. And this is a team that with a mentality that isn't quite there yet. So, hey, listen, I'm optimistic. I am.
You know what? We might need this T-shirt too now. Boys, we need to score how many chances. It's so good. And you're right, Kevin. You bring up some really great points. And the dominance of that. Here's what I loved about there's in the recent memory, right? There's three London derbies that I can think of where maybe four where nobody gave us a chance, where everyone said Tottenham were going to whip our asses. This was one. The 2-0 in the rain at the Emirates.
Mustafi scored, your header, yeah.
The 4-2.
Yeah.
The Torreira moment.
Under Emery.
And then the 2-2 at White Hart Lane with the mask, Harry Kane.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though we had Sanchez then and we had, you know, decent team, they were really in their moment that season. And nobody gave us a chance. And true. So, you know, it takes a lot in your worst season when you're on your knees. This is why I gave Arteta a lot of credit last night on the show. It didn't taste like vinegar either doing it, Kevin, because they deserved it. The players deserved it.
Big time.
The players who we've ripped apart and said, when you cross those white lines, you have to perform. And they did against the team that supposedly won the league in December. Right?
Yes.
They're still in a League Cup final. They're still in the Europa League. You know what? He could deliver them a trophy. We don't know. We won't know any of this until the end of the season. But all we know is that in one of the two most important games of the season in the league, we performed. Not only won, we performed. And that was the difference.
Sophie, let me tell you what I'm hoping. I'm hoping Man City tuck them in nicely in the League Cup.
Oh my god!
And you know what? I would like to think after that beating that they took, their season is going to start to fall apart. Watch this space,
Kevin. Yeah, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yep. Need them to fall apart now.
Yeah. Well, listen. Lots of great comments from the squad. He's coming for you, Kev. I'll repeat. Arteta going. Let's see. I couldn't find a comment. Someone's repeating it. I had to do this. Sophie, you said that you couldn't find a comment. Before I go home, I'll repeat. Arteta going public on Oba's issues that resulted in maybe a clever move. Yes. I hear you, Keith. And I'm just saying, like, it's... look, stranger things have happened at the Arsenal. It's a game-changing... Nobody's safe. And they shouldn't be, right?
Nobody's safe. Yeah.
And look, there's even more of you in chat now. We would love to stay and hang out. It's been a great show. I always love Kevin Says segments. Some brilliant questions and comments from you guys. Kev, what do you think? Well, how are you going to rate the squaddies tonight?
I'm going to give the squaddies a 9 out of 10. I thought they were excellent. Not quite 10 out of 10 yet, but I think we're going to get there near the end of the season because you know what? We got some tough games coming up and some exciting games, and the questions are going to get juicier, squaddies. So be ready. Yeah, because you little devil.
Ross is calling you a little devil.
Be ready.
And real quick, Kev, I wanted to get something. I hope you don't mind me asking this at the very end, because I've been wanting to ask you all week. I was very upset with the legend that is Ian Wright for how he reacted on Match of the Day. And then especially when you see Lacazette burying that penalty under immense pressure. Lacazette has really had to step in and do a lot of things at the Arsenal. I really, truly believe a bit of an unsung hero, never complains or does anything. Yes, we've seen a lot of players embellish challenges and scream, but also when a stadium is so silent, you hear everything. I thought Wrighty should have behaved a little bit better. I know he's a brother for you, but you always take the tough questions. I was a bit disappointed. What's your take on what happened?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like it. Gary Lineker, I didn't like what he'd done there. I thought it was distasteful, to say the least. And I didn't want Wrighty to be joining in with it. I wouldn't have joined in with it, because he's an Arsenal man. And when I see him joining in, I can't endorse it. I thought Wrighty was wrong to do that. I've got to be honest. Anything to do with Arsenal, look, I want to protect the club as much as I can. And we might have among our Arsenal family in here, we could, you know, when you come in the house, we could rant and rave and scream and everything when we're in the house. See, when we go outside, it's like nothing's happened.
Right.
I'm not having Lineker having a go at and taking the piss out of Lacazette. No chance. And Ian Wright should know better. And be honest with you, he should know better. But he done it. And I'm sure he regrets doing it, because it wasn't nice to see. I didn't like seeing it, Sophie. Honestly.
Yeah, apparently he did apologise and stuff. And, you know, I think too, because, you know, Lineker's always having a dig at Arsenal. He's always having a dig at us. And there's something about him that's just a bit, and these are just my words, not the words of anyone on the podcast. He's so smart and clever. And I just felt like that was not the right moment. So I'm glad that you answered the tough question there, Kev. And I know that, you know, you are honest about the Arsenal, and sometimes, you know, players like, you know, Merson's always honest, I think. I know he gets a hard time from a lot of people. Sometimes he says crazy things, but Smudger is always very honest. You're very honest. You know, you really care about the club and you want the club to move in the right direction. So, you know, I would like to see Gary Lineker do a reenactment on Match of the Day in terms of what Kane did to Gabriel this past weekend. I would like to see that. How about we see that, mofo?
Never going to happen. You know that. They're going to protect Kane.
Yeah.
Going to protect Kane. And listen, someone just put in about Jermaine Genus. Remember, I'm a fan now, which is great. I have seen all these ex-Spurs, ex-players, saying how the Lacazette challenge wasn't a penalty.
It's ridiculous.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing and seeing. If a defender makes a challenge in the box and you do not get the ball, it's a penalty. And whether the ball is there or not, if you make a challenge and you take someone down, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people start talking about the ball and all that kind of, it doesn't matter.
No, even Keown, like Newman says, even Keown was saying it wasn't a pen. I'm like, what world is that not? Even the Tottenham, that's that funny Tottenham podcast where it goes viral all the time.
Yeah.
You know, those two young fellas. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
Even they said it was a penalty.
Clear penalty.
But listen, how Martin Keown, how he even said it weren't a penalty, but Arsenal deserved it. Listen, he's an ex-teammate of mine. What are you talking about, Mark? Come on, that is a penalty. That is a and penalty.
If you ran into him tomorrow, you'd pull him aside and say, what are you talking about?
That is a penalty.
Yeah.
That is a penalty.
Yeah, in any
league in the world, that is a penalty.
And we've seen softer penalties given this season than that one, Kev.
Well, look at David Luiz. Look at the David Luiz at Wolves. That tells you everything.
That's the worst one this season. I love it. They're all salty. You're right, Paul. Salty Spurs. Oh, it's so good. It feels
Hold on. Get some salt and vinegar on me chips here. Go on, salt them up.
Oh, my God, Kev, our good friend Dan Potts asked in our WhatsApp group today. He goes, I'm still buzzing. I'm still celebrating. How long do you think I could keep this up? And what was it you said to him? Kev's like, keep going. Don't stop.
Don't ever stop. Ride it until the wheels fall off, because we might play them this season. We might play them next season. If we don't play them this season, you can milk it until next season.
Milk it until
let them have it. Let them have it.
Exactly, until the next North London derby. Well, listen, a showpiece always is our weekly segment of Kevin Says. Thanks to everybody. We love you too, Shady. Thanks so much to everyone who's joined. Brilliant stuff.
Top class.
Thanks, squaddies. And Kev, we're going to be back tomorrow night. You're back tomorrow night.
I'm with you tomorrow night.
Lovely. Yeah. Got something special lined up for everyone tomorrow night. Thursday is our Olympiacos post-game show. And then, of course, Friday is our fan forum. So don't miss out on that. And if you want to join us, make sure you email thehighbury squad@gmail.com. You get to ask Kev more questions. In the meantime, I have a feeling a few of you are going to want this. Footballprizes.co.uk. Go over there right now. Get your Thomas Partey ticket signed and framed from one of Arsenal's new favourite players. Only $4.95 for your ticket. We will be giving a ticket away late Thursday, but you're not going to want to wait for that. That will just be a bonus ticket. If I were you, I would go and grab this while you can. Kev, I mean, if I could enter, I will. I would.
Sophie, I'm all over that. Let me tell you. I'm all over that. But I might have to do it through somebody else, Soph. I'm telling you, because, listen, I wouldn't mind a Thomas Partey shirt. I've got to tell you, I'm a fan. I'm a fan now. I love some of that.
We need a pseudo name. Like Jason Bourne had like five different aliases. We're gonna need one. And Taib, I'm gonna put this up just for you. Kev, rate Sophie's bandana, because I've been called a gangster tonight and all sorts of things, Kev.
Oh,
I did the old Greek lady thing. It's bad hair. I'm getting my hair cut Thursday, everyone. The appointment is coming. I can't wait.
So I'm giving you a 9 because you wear it well. Love it. You get a 9. You wear it well, darling.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, look, we'll be back tomorrow night, everyone. And thanks so much for joining us again. Brilliant stuff from the legend Super Kevin Campbell. Until tomorrow, Kev, you tell him.
Until tomorrow. You know Kev says it and you answer it and I have to deal with you. But, you know, we love Arsenal. And you know what? Always Arsenal.